Man, God is good. Amen. Amen. We just heard some awesome testimonies about Bible school, about God revealing things through dreams, about God being faithful. You know, I just actually want to say, because I was in the state too, and I think everybody, you know, probably goes through this state where it's like, we're not where we want to be with God, right? And then we don't feel it, and we get down to pray, and we want to sleep. We open the Bible and we want to go on our phones or whatever, you know, and sometimes it's just so hard to feel God, right? And one time actually in Bible school, I had a hard time feeling God. Even though it was such an atmosphere of people seeking God and people praying and people worshiping and stuff, I personally had a hard time at a certain point in time in Bible school. And at one point I was just like, dude, I'm going to go and pray. So just like she was saying, I went and I'm like, God, I just want to be with you. And that's it. And God, I guess God spoke through my mind. He said, Mark, I want to be with you too. More than you want to be with me. You see, it's not about us. That's what I'm trying to say, guys. It's not about us. It's not about how much we want God or how much we love God. But it's about how much God has loved us. What matters. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer real quick. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your presence, God, and worship, Lord, and just this whole day, Father. We thank you, God, and we give you glory for who you are, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that I can do your word justice today, Jesus. I pray, God, that I can preach your word today in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. I pray for each and every single heart, God, to receive your word in Jesus' name, God. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. If you guys have your Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Say amen when you get to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. There we go. Amen. Come on. All right. All right. I'm going to share a quick statistic, all right? Statistic is this. 100 million Christians in 60 different countries are being persecuted for their faith right now as we speak. I'm actually not sure about that 100 million number, but there's millions of Christians right now in 60 different countries that are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ, all right? Millions of people. These millions of people, they're not just normal people. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are members of the church. Just like we are members of the church, they are members of the church. Amen? Amen. All right. All right, all right. So, and I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking, like, what separates these millions of people, what separates those millions of people from us Christians, right? What separates? So I've been thinking about that. Why are they getting persecuted for their faith? They're you know, living lifestyles. They're getting murdered and martyred for their faith. And we're just here chilling sometimes. And sometimes we have a hard time even opening the Bible. Or sometimes we have a hard time even praying. Or we come to worship and we're like, oh, I don't like the songs they're singing today. Or we come to church and we're like, man, I don't like the way the preacher's preaching today. Or I don't like the seats. I don't like the chairs. And I'm preaching to myself because this is a lot of stuff I sometimes complain about. And I'm saying these chairs are too hard. Or this song is too fast. Or their song is too slow. And sometimes I'm just like, Lord, forgive me, you know, because what right do I have to complain? You know, while there's millions of my brothers and sisters getting persecuted in so many different countries. All right, let's open up to, we're already open up to 2 Timothy, correct? Yes. All right, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so 2 Timothy. This is the last epistle that Apostle Paul writes. So 2 Timothy takes place in around 64 to 68 A.D., and during this time, there was an emperor named Nero. And Emperor Nero was deranged, to say the least. I personally believe he was a demonically possessed person. Historians say that at one point, he actually set Rome on fire. And a portion of Rome was started burning. He then put out the fire and blamed the Christians. And so what happened is this gigantic persecution broke out, where they would kill Christians. They would behead them, you know, the Colosseums and the crucifixions. Actually, Emperor Nero, he had his own personal garden, and he would actually take Christians, set them up on fire and ride his chariot through the Christians, you know, the burning people, you know, because he was just that mentally unstable, I believe. But it was just such a time of persecution. All right, so this is the time where this epistle is getting written right now. So this is Apostle Paul's last letter he ever wrote to Timothy. Actually, last letter he ever wrote in the Bible. So let's go ahead and read a section of it with that context in mind. This is Apostle Paul's final words, all right? So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. All right, so we're just going to go through these verses, verse by verse, and just see what Apostle Paul is trying to get out, trying to say with his last words that he has to Timothy. So verse 3, he says, share in these sufferings. Share in these hardships. Endure these hardships. So as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, so this is the time of great persecution. And Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, hey, share in these hardships. Share in these hard times. You know, share these hard times with other people. Endure these hard times. Verse 4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Three analogies, right? Apostle Paul puts out three analogies. First analogy is the soldier, right? A soldier is given a mission. He's given an assignment. Go invade here, go do this, go do that, right? We as Christians are given an assignment. Go preach the gospel, right? Gospel, teach the nations. Teach us from Bible school. That's what they teach you in Bible school all the time. Go preach the gospel. Preach. That is our mission. He says, a soldier does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. So the things that are going on around us in this world, yes, they're important. A work life is important. A school life is important. A family life is important. Getting married is important. You know, getting a car, a house, a job, that's important, right? But that's not the main goal. You see, a soldier's aim is to please the one who has enlisted him. A soldier's aim is to please the one who sent him on that mission. Our aim is to please the Father who has sent us on this mission to go preach the gospel. Amen? Amen. Second analogy, an athlete, right? You take a look at an athlete, and you take a look at, let's say, a football player. You guys ever heard of Marshawn Lynch? She has. I haven't even heard of him. But apparently he's a really big guy, right? Right? He's like a linebacker? What is he? Yeah, anyways, he pushes people around. But you look at all these football players. Look at all these soccer players. You look at all these tennis players. And they're in really good shape. So they watch what they eat. They do their exercises. They put in their time into routines and all this stuff. So and they follow the rules of the game, right? So Apostle Paul compares us to athletes at the same time. You know what I mean? So first he compares us to soldiers and not getting entangled in civilian pursuits. And now he's comparing us to athletes and following the rules of the game. The third analogy, it is the hard-working farmer. It is the hard-working farmer. You know, when we look at farmers, I'm from Idaho. Anybody ever been to Idaho? Yeah, come on. Idaho is my favorite place in the world. And we have a lot of fields, like a lot of fields, right? And a lot of fields. We have cows, potatoes, corn, wheat, everything. And when you see these farmers, they work all the time. Sometimes you're driving home from work or from church and it's dark outside and you see these farmers on their tractors plowing their fields. You know, right here it says the hardworking farmer. Apostle Paul is comparing us to farmers for some reason. You know, farmers, they get up before the sun comes up. The farmer, he works by the sweat of his brow all day, all night. He spends the money on the equipment. He spends the time watering and spreading the seed and toiling the land and doing all this hard work, right? And so that's the hard work, the hardworking farmer that ought to have the first share of the crop. All right, so Apostle Paul compares us to farmers. All right, next verse 9. or sorry, verse 8 actually. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as I preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound in chains as criminals, but the word of God is not bound. So and here Paul is saying, guys, or Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying, remember Jesus Christ. He is the only reason why I'm even doing this. I'm suffering for Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the reason why I'm here. Jesus Christ is the reason of Christianity. He's the reason why we're doing any of this. And the Apostle Paul is writing that even though I'm chained up, I'm bound up in chains, right? Once again, this is the time of increased persecution. People are dying everywhere. And he's saying, I'm tied up in chains, but the word of God is not tied up. Amen? Sometimes we may think that, like, you know, just because somebody else, some pastor is in jail or somebody's in prison, then the word of God is not getting preached. The word of God is still getting preached. Amen? Amen. Because even though we're unfaithful, God is still faithful. Let's say, for example, God tells you, or puts it on your heart to pray for somebody, or puts it on your heart to go and give somebody a word, or puts it on your heart to go and tell the gospel to somebody, and we're not faithful in that, guess what? God is still going to use somebody else. You know why? God's work will always get done. Apostle Paul says, I'm in chains right now, but the word of God is not bound. Amen? The word of God is not bound. Verse 10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So Apostle Paul is saying, I'm doing all this for the future people who are going to accept Jesus Christ. Everything I'm doing, I'm suffering, I'm struggling, I'm doing all of this for the sake of the elect. Now we look at Apostle Paul's life real quick, and especially in these dying moments, where in chapter 4 he writes stuff like, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and my time for departure has come. I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the race. You know, Apostle Paul, he's dying. He knows he's going to die. He's saying, I'm already being poured out as a cup. You know, and we take a look at Apostle Paul's life, and for me personally, I see just his passion. His passion for God. Like, there is crazy persecution at that time. He's in jail. He's in chains. Like, and he still has that passion. And for Timothy, he's telling Timothy to, like, preach the word. He says, I charge you to, in the presence of Jesus Christ, you know, to preach the word. Go spread the word. You know, Jesus Christ is still Lord. He's still God. The gospel is not in chains. And I take a look at his life, and I'm thinking, wow, such passion. Such passion, right, in his life. Even though he's getting persecuted, he's about to get martyred, and his friends are dying all around him, he still has this passion and zeal for Christ. Even though he writes in the beginning of 2 Timothy that people have left him, in this dark time, but he still has this passion for Jesus Christ. Paul remains so passionate for Jesus, amen? And I start to wonder, how did Paul have such passion, right? Because don't you guys want to be as passionate as Paul for Jesus? Amen? Come on. Sveta does. Emila does. Perfect, man. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, so I want to be as passionate for God as Paul was for God, right? And so I think, you know, I was thinking, like, how do I become so passionate about Jesus? Right? Because I take a look at my own life and I see from my personal testimony, I see from just my time in Bible school, meeting this beautiful woman right here, marrying her and stuff. I see God's hand in my life, right? But I also see times where I was exceedingly passionate about God. And then when I fell down, and then when I stayed down, then when I was exceedingly passionate about God again. And then you know what I mean? You guys had that before, right? Where it's an up and a down. It's an up and a down. It's like, why can't I just stay passionate? Why can't I just stay inspired? Why can't I just keep motivating the people around me? Why can't I just keep doing this? Why do I keep falling down and doing that and doing this? And so if you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter 3 real quick. And just say amen when you get there so we can start reading it. All right. Amen. Perfect. All right. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Okay? Verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, by the way, this is Apostle Paul writing again. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is who is your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen. So Apostle Paul is writing here, he says, set your mind on things that are above. You know, Apostle Paul, he had this eternal perspective, right? Like, he looks at life and he sees, here's life, there's eternity. He sees the big picture, right? So we as Christians, if we set our things on our mind on things that are above, we also will have that eternal perspective. That like, hey, things are going like this in my life right now, but in eternity, I'll be with Jesus. In eternity, that's when that matters. You know, it's all about the things to come, not the things right now. Verse 5-9. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So Apostle Paul is saying, look, you've been freed. You've been freed from your old life, right? You've been freed from your old practices. Now don't engage in them. Since you've been freed from your wrath, your anger, your malice, your sexual immorality, impurity, passion, put those things to death. You've been freed. They don't control you anymore. You have to put them to death. Like Pastor says, вы новое творение, right? Amen? You guys remember that? Новая тварь. That's how you say it, right? Новая тварь. You guys are a new creation. You're not bounded to the sins anymore. Right? But you still have to put them to death. So even though you're not a slave to them, you still have to put in the staranya and the work to put them to death. Amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 10. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. Right? In the knowledge. Being renewed in knowledge. Being renewed in knowing more of God. So when we know more of God, we actually get renewed. Our new self gets renewed more and more and more and more. You see, you look at people who go to Bible schools. Like she's going to TBS right now. She just came back from SMBS, you know. It's a great time to be renewed in the Word of God. In the Word of God, to be renewed every time, more and more. And he says, here is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all in all. You see, this puts the argument of racism to death. Because, you know, racism is like, you know, you're black, you can't come here, you're white, you can't come here, you're Asian, you can't come here, you know, blacks are better than whites, or whites are better. You know, that's, Paul says, Christ is all in all. All right? Here is no Greek or Jew. Here is no circumcised or uncircumcised. Christ is all in all. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing one another, and if one has complained against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. And above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. All right. We got to compare our own lives according to these scriptures, right? So when we take our own lives to comparison of what, where he says right here, put on the new as God's chosen and holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So when you look at your own life, do you have these qualities? Do you have the patience? Do you have the kindness, the meekness, the humility? You know what I mean? So the word of God is actually a reflection, right? It's a mirror. So let me show you, teach you guys something. So back in the olden days, they had the whole tabernacle, right? And I'm sure you guys all know this because you all are very smart. But there was this tabernacle, and there was this one part of the priests had to do a certain part, and each person of the Israel nation had to do a certain part. And I'm not really sure what those parts are right now. But there, I know this, there's one thing called the washbowl, right? The washbowl and the mirror. I don't know if I had a mirror, but you would have to wash yourself in this washbowl before you can go on. See, the word of God for us is like that washbowl. See, the word of God washes over us. And when we read it, when we look into a washbowl, we can see our own reflection, right? So when we look into this word of God, we have to see the reflection. So we compare our own lives against the word of God. We look at, all right, do we have the compassionate heart? Do we have the kindness? Do we have the meekness? Do we have the love that we're supposed to have right here? And verse 12 says, you got to put it on, all right? See, this is something that we have to do. Everybody listening real quick? You guys got to get this, okay? Because it's not just going to come to you. It's not just going to be like, Lord, I'm going to pray this prayer and I'm going to be compassionate. Or Lord, I'm going to sing this song and I'm going to love. Or Lord, I'm going to do this right here and I'm going to be considered as kind-hearted. No, man, this is something you have to put on. This is something you have to put on. Like a soldier puts on his armor, or like you put your shoes on. You got to do that, you know, put your shoes on. My wife just right now was telling me, she's like, I'm like, I'm waiting for you to get out the door. And she's like, put your shoes on. So I got to put my shoes on, right? She's like, I don't see your shoes growing on your feet. So it's something you have to put on. You put on as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. You guys understand what that means? Like dealing with each other, like the way you deal with each other. You know, life is actually 20% what happens to you and 80% how you react, right? So if somebody does you wrong, you know, and you deal with them wrongly, that's on you. But you have to bear one another, bear with each other, all right? Maybe you don't understand one another, but you got to still try to understand each other, all right? Amen? Amen? Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, when you have an eternal perspective on everything you do, you know, and our lives get tested, or let's say you take a lemon, right, and you squeeze a lemon really hard. What happens? Yes, juice comes out, right? So when you take a Christian, right, and a Christian gets squeezed really hard, what comes out? Christian coffee, right? No, I'm kidding. Christian juice, right? So it's got to be like this something that happens, right? So when our lives get squeezed, when our lives get pressured, when things don't go how they're supposed to, what comes out? Is it joy? Is it humility? Is it peace? Or is it anger? Is it stress? Is it like, nothing's going my way today? Oh my goodness, man. And it's like, that's the question you got to ask yourself. What's going to come out when I get squeezed today? Like, not physically, but like just metaphorically. Amen? So they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Amen? So having that eternal perspective on life, it's going to determine how you react in life. Amen? And I want to share my testimony really quickly with you guys. Because the Lord has led me for 23 years through all sorts of ups and downs, and thankful. And I'm thankful for the prayers of my mother and my father and my family that I'm here today right now. You know, I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up going to church. I grew up singing the songs, not these songs, but I grew up singing the songs from the old hymn books. Zbornika, yeah, the good stuff. I think she knows that. The good stuff, yeah. Amen. So I grew up singing the songs. I grew up going to Sunday school. I was around people of God from a very young age, just like many of you guys are today. And I was living two lives, though, because when I was going to church, I was the Christian kid. I was the good kid, right? That was the kid that the grandmas liked. They gave me candy and stuff because I portrayed myself as a good kid. When I went to school or when I hung out with my friends, you know, it was a whole different story. And I actually led two different lives. And I didn't actually have much friends in going up through high school. And I was always just this angry kid. I don't know why, but I was really, really angry all the time because I didn't have any friends and I was just angry. I don't know why. But the Lord set me free from that. Praise God. But I was this very angry kid, and I was in my, it was my junior year, and I had a fight with another guy, actually, and I got jumped by like five other guys, and I had something, and pretty much I went to jail, right? I get thrown in jail, and I'm this kid sitting there, and I was angry. I'm just an angry person, right? And I get locked up, and I'm thinking, that's not fair. There's 5-on-1, and these guys, you know, they were trying to beat me up and blah, 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 right? And I'm just, like, making excuses for myself and stuff. And I was sitting in my cell, and I got the Bible. There's the Book of Mormon there as well because they give you both. And I start reading the Bible, and I start reading from Psalms to Romans, and Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You know, because I grew up, I was around a lot of Christian people, and I considered myself a Christian, but my life was not the eternal perspective. You know, because when you have the eternal perspective on life, then you realize that even though everybody has fallen short of the glory of God, even though everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God is actually merciful, God is actually faithful, and God saves us from where we were dead in our sins. He takes us out of that dead state, and He gives us life. Amen. Amen. So me, I was thinking I was a Christian because I was going to church. I was thinking I was a Christian, but in my heart, I was not. And so sitting there on the jail cell floor, I started reading this, you know, Romans, the Romans path is to salvation, that you know, everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I started realizing, man, like, God loves me, like, God is good. And so I, right there, I repent. And the next morning, I wake up with the song in my heart. I wake up with the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Out of nowhere, I'm like, man, it is well with my soul. I start walking around, you know, everybody's getting together, and they're all talking about, ah, man, you know, stupid cops, or my mom locked me up, or all these different reasons, and all these different причины why they're in jail. And I'm like, yeah, I messed up. I messed up. It was me. I messed up, but God is good. God is gracious. God is gracious. Amen. Amen. So when we take a look at our own lives, right, and we see that maybe that's you today, actually. Maybe that's you today, and you're realizing, I'm not living the life that reflects Christ. I'm not living the life like that that has the eternal perspective like Apostle Paul. You know, because I certainly wasn't. And for me, I had to come into that hard place in juvenile detention where I had to look at my own life and I had to reflect, why am I not living like the way I'm supposed to be living? You know, maybe that's you today right now. And you may be thinking like, ah, man, I'll repent later. Because I used to think that way too. I used to think, man, when I'm going to die, like right before I'm going to die, I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me, and I'm going to be in heaven. Like, that's what I'm going to do, right? And that was my thought process. But I'm realizing that's not how we live our lives, because our lives are supposed to reflect who God is. Our lives are supposed to reflect what He wants from us. You see, when we say that we're Christian, but when we say that we're Christian, but our lives don't reflect our own proclaim that we, you know, our own statement that we're a Christian or we follow after Jesus, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. We become hypocrites. We become like those Pharisees who were pretty on the outside, who were fasting all the time and showing, and they were the most considered the most holiest people at that time. But inside, Jesus called them that they are just tombs. They are empty tombs. That's all they are. They're just graves, and they're walking around, dead people walking. You know what I mean? So I want to challenge you guys to have that eternal perspective on everything you do and to think about the future. Not who you're going to marry or where you're going to be, but who God is and the glory of God and doing everything for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's get together and pray real quick. Amen. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this time, God, for this youth, Jesus. I thank you for this youth, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are good, Lord, and that you are leading our youth, Father. And I give you glory for that, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, for your blessing, God. I pray for your blessing upon each and every single person in this place right now, God. I pray for your Holy Spirit, God, to lead them and guide them into a deeper understanding of who you are, God, into a deeper understanding of what your will is for their lives, God. I pray for your Holy Spirit to just purify, God. I pray for your Holy Spirit to reveal things to them that they need to work on, God, or things to them that they need to do, Jesus' mighty name, Lord. I pray that your obedience, God, will be upon them in Jesus' name, God. I pray for your Holy Spirit, God, to lead them into a deeper state, into a deeper understanding of who you are, God. We thank you for these moments, Lord. We thank you for this time, oh God, and we proclaim your name upon each and every single person here today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen.